محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Today is day 10 of the daily Ramadan daily dua series. I will be presenting a translated version of the lecture by Sayyid Ali Mutazili that was given in 2007. So the dua is as follows. O Allah, in this month, let me be among those who rely on you. Let me be among those who succeed in your way. Let me be among those who are allowed nearness to you. As a favor, O the last resort of those who are needy. The Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam ask for the believers not just a better way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just a better way to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these du'as, but rather they outline for us some goals that we can set in our lives, an objective, you know, something that we should strive to do. Now, both elements are very beautiful indeed. Because if they didn't explain to us how it is that we speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we wouldn't really know how we would present ourselves in front of Allah. So they knew this. They knew the best way to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his court. And this was a special duty of the Anbiya and the Awliya. When they came, they explained the way we should create our relationship with Allah. So in this dua, you know, the Imam says, O Allah, make me among those who have tawakkul of you, who have complete reliance on you. So they're setting this as a goal for us. In reality, they're setting for us these certain values that we should try to instill in ourselves. To make us among those who rely on them, and not those who put their reliance in the material success of this world, relying on other beings who are just as weak as us in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as we're blinded by this materialism in this world, we're not able to unveil the deep mysteries that are in this creation. Neither are we able to unveil the true purpose of life, the true purpose behind this world and the creation. So, and if we look all around us, we are in this world that is created by Him. The air we breathe, the skies, the earth, the nature, everything we observe around Him is His creation. So of course, thinking that we are in this world, we are observing His creation day and night, we should be having our complete tawakkul in Him. Now, for some people, they have more trust in their own degrees. They'll have more tawakkul, more reliance on somebody who has more material wealth in this world. They will have more reliance on their credit cards, as if without them we wouldn't have anything. So, the reality is we will not come to this conclusion that we need to have tawakkul if we let go of any of these things. It won't. But rather, we will have the realization of tawakkul when these things are not there. Like, we realize that if these things were never even there. And if we had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely it will increase our tawakkul in Him. Now, even after having these things, we can trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for the people who say, you know, too much materialism will never make you understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, materialism will not. But just having wealth or anything like that does not, you know, incapacitate a person to have tawakkul in Him. So tawakkul is important. It is a great, you know, it is way greater than we have all these things, but in addition to all of that, we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, to say this is very easy, but in actuality to do this is a little hard. So if we trusted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we put our tawakkul in Him, what would happen? Now in the Quran it says, فَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. It says that those who rely on Allah, He is enough for them. Now, if the Lord of the world, if the Lord created this world, who is the Lord of this, you know, the Alameen, is not enough for us, then who else would be enough for us? So there is none others besides Him, and unfortunately we can't acknowledge that sometimes. So let's say that if the attribute of tawakkul increases in us, then the attribute or the sifat of itminan also increases. Itminan is tranquility, as we say, you know, rest in this world. Like, for example, the verse says, عَلَىٰ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَعِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. It says, surely with the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. That is because when a believer keeps Allah in his mind and conscience, Allah's greatness, Allah's power, Allah's all these great attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when all these things are in his mind, then all the other things comparatively look a lot more worthless in his view. Now the next line says, وَاجْعَلْنِي فِيهِ مِنَ الْفَائِزِينَ لَدَيْكَ. Let me be among those who succeed in your way. And this is a very beautiful statement. Because, you know, as we can see around us, mashallah, we succeed in our life here. We succeed in our communities. We succeed amongst our friends. But let's put this in perspective and kind of start thinking that all these things mean nothing for me unless I have success with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things are sure. These successes are here in this temporary sense. But if I don't have the success near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His way, then it's really not that much. You know, so we're basically, what we're trying to say here is there are two forms of success. One is the material success, the things that we accomplish in this world, you know, our earnings, our wealth, our children, our way of living. All these things are material successes. But in reality, these successes are nothing but secondary to the true success that we'll find with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because after all, He is the one who is known as Al-Mumtahin. It means the attribute which means He is the true judge, or the one who takes account of all of our deeds. He is the one who gives, He is the one who takes, He is the one who rewards, He is the one who punishes. So success must also lie with Him. If we want to judge how our success is, it should lie with somebody who is the judge, the Mumtahin, Al-Mumtahin. An example would be, you know, if a child goes to a trophy store, buys a trophy for himself, and gives it to himself, what value does that hold for him? Similarly, if somebody else tells you you're successful, what value does it have? Is that one person's word really that valuable? Now, even if you say, you go further and you say a whole bunch of people, a whole population, a whole nation tells you you're successful. But we see, you know, there's throughout history, there have been tyrants, there have been oppressors, there have been sinners who have, you know, like a lot of people would just say they were successful in this world. So as Muslims, we kind of reevaluate that, step back and see, is that the meaning of success that we're going for? You know, everybody's been given a Nobel Peace Prize, but is that really success in our view? Because if you say, take the example of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the battlefield of Karbala, before his head is being severed, he is prostrating on the lands of Karbala. Stones are being pelted at him. There are swords against him. He is alone in this battlefield, but he is still successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're saying, oh Allah, make me amongst those who are successful in your way. Now this should be a purpose for us, you know, these should be what we strive for. We should work for that success, not just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verbally and that's it. So they are setting the standard for us. These du'as are for us to act upon. So this is a way for us to do islah of ourselves, to reform ourselves. And we have to reform ourselves in such a way in which we're not asking for recognition by people around us, but rather we're asking for recognition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Now what is the success that we're talking about? Now, it is that we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, make my life become like you want it to be. Now there are three different values of it. I'll mention two of them inshallah. Quran first says, you know, are those who have knowledge the same as those who don't have knowledge? So the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this one value which brings us success. Now the one who has pure knowledge of Allah, that is how successful he is. We say pure knowledge because today we often just take knowledge to mean, you know, the concepts and abstracts of physical and social sciences. But no, in Islam, that is not where knowledge ends. That is maybe a small part of it, but knowledge is being able to unveil the truth. The discovery of truth that brings one closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we say, kashf haqiqat, you know, like to unveil and uncover the truths of things, is what really brings us. That's the knowledge that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the mere memorizing of concepts or having the ignorance or arrogance of one who knows. Because that just becomes a means for us to distance ourselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the Quran says, knowledge is that light which Allah shines upon the hearts of those whom He wills. Now the first value we said was success. The first value of success we said is ilm, which is knowledge. Now the second value is taqwa, or piety. As the verse says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best amongst you is the one who is pious. Now what does taqwa mean? Taqwa means to live our life according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the one who is Allah's servant is the one who is always alive. You know, as I say, Ta'bendaim, you know, like, so everything else is lifeless. So we're asking here, oh Allah, make me among those who find success in your way. It is not that easy to find success in Allah's way. Just fasting is not enough, but rather to make our entire souls fast, our entire hearts fast. Our bodies should fast. It is important to rein in our low desires into the realm of fasting. This fasting should be strong. It should be so strong that it persists even after the month of Ramadan is over. The piety that is gained from these fasts will be with us when the next month of Ramadan comes around, inshallah. So the next line is, وَجْعَلْنِي فِيهِ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ إِلَيْكَ. Oh Allah, make me among those who are allowed nearness to you. As we say, قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ, you know, before we pray, before we do anything good, we say قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ, so we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ, what it means is, we start manifesting in ourselves, we start instilling in ourselves the attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. For example, when Allah blew His spirit into Adam alayhi salam, you know, it made him such, He put him at such a high level that He asked the angels to even do sajda in front of it. So in the Quran it says, O Prophet, they ask you about the soul. So tell them that this is from the will of Allah. And whatever knowledge has been given to you is very little. Now, what is this trying to say is there is a divinity within us that has been part of our fitrah. So let us make those divine attributes that were given to us in our fitrah, you know, shine a little bit more than they are now. And this closeness is only possible when we bring the attributes of Allah within our being. Ayatollah Iraqi, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say a very beautiful statement. He used to say, when the sins are erased from a person's essence, from his heart, when his materialistic and animalistic tendencies are erased, his pride, his arrogance, his ego is all diminished, then only is it possible for the angel to come out of him. Or else, where would the purity come from when these impurities of the soul are within us? As some Urafa also say that you cannot put pure milk inside a vessel which is najis, a vessel which is impure, a pot that is impure. Because not only will it just, you know, not only the pot is impure anymore, even the milk that you put into it is going to be impure. So Allah, make me among those who are allowed nearness against you. Now, they have asked a great dua here for us. The imams themselves were already close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had the qurb of Allah. But they sought for us to also be near to Him. So I think the way the dua flows, the imam is highlighting for us how we accomplish this nearness. First is to have tawakkul in Him, complete reliance in Him. Second is to find success in His way. And then, you know, when you do this, you'll be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After we overcome all those challenges that come in our way, and the time will come for us to be amongst those who are the muqarribin, those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person goes to sleep and dreams and wakes up the next morning and thinks he is amongst those who are clear. Now, how is this possible? It's not. Because it requires, you know, an irada from the person who's doing this. It requires commitment. We need sacrifices. We need to rid ourselves of our sins, not just in our actions, but also in our thoughts. You know, the sin of thoughts, the gunah of the mind. Don't let our thoughts or minds commit these sins. Do not think bad of others. Do not backbite others, even in your thoughts. These are all impurities and najasat. And I say this because, you know, a person when they're about to stand to pray are not allowed to have any kind of najasat on their clothes. They're not allowed to be najis themselves. That is a condition being fulfilled for us, for our prayers to be accepted. So think of it another way, you know, those are the zahir najasat. Those are the ones that are apparent. So imagine the batin impurities, the things that are within us, the impurities, the najasat that are within us. So if we truly want our prayers to be accepted, it requires for us not only to just purify our external ibadat, external najasat, but also our internal najasat. So first we ask, O Allah, be of those, make us amongst those who have tawakkul on you. Second, we are asking, O Allah, make me of those who find success near you, success in your way. And third, we're asking, O Allah, make us amongst those who are close to you. And at the end we say, bi ahsanika ya ghayat al-talibin, out of your favor, O the last resource of those who are needy. Now, these are great stations, and many people decide that they will undertake these in one night, and this is very important and necessary. And what it entails is that we give those sacrifices, and that inshallah, when we make that intention, when we make that irada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, some urafa say, when we make that intention of embarking on the right path, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up 100 years of this journey for us. He opens up so many doors to seek Him. Now, the month of Ramadan is a blessed opportunity. What you couldn't have done in 11 months, you can do in 1 month. So imagine what great of an opportunity this is. And inshallah, we can take full benefit of this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us amongst those who fulfill the beautiful opportunities of this month. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Rabbi salli ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Salamat.